This is the radio ministry where the rubber meets the road, brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word, for righteousness and holiness? We're glad that you've tuned in. If God leads you to invest in spreading the gospel around the world, you can learn more about us. We're on the web at HisWillMinistry.org. You can contact us by emailing to info@HisWillMinistry.org. We pray that you will draw nearer to the Lord as a result of Pastor's teaching and preaching. Here's Pastor Warner.
How many in here can say honestly they trust God? Whether you're faced with a financial problem, a medical problem, a family problem, do you trust God with your life? If you don't, you better get into this Word, you better repent, you better start. Because if you wear the name of Christian, Jesus is the one that has His hand upon you. Jesus is the one that literally makes the decision if your time's up. I remember reading a story one time, and I believe it can be so true. A great evangelist's wife died while he was preaching. She was supposed to be preaching, and he came back to the house, and they told him that it was too late, she died. And he ran upstairs and got on his knees and started weeping with the loss. And then he realized, I've raised the dead before. God has allowed me to heal. And he started praying over her and supplicating to God. And she opened her eyes. And she looked at him and smiled. And she said, "Don't, dear. It's my time." And he said, "Then the voice of God came to me and said, 'You have to let her go. I've called her home.'" And he told her he loved her and let her go. The next 60 years of his life, according to his own words, were the most lonely times of his life. He had Jesus and nothing else. He spent the rest of his life preaching, teaching, until almost the day he died. And he said, "Many times when I was alone, no one would see me, I'd just cry and weep for the loss of my love mate. But I knew I was going to see her again." See, that is trust in God. God gives you the power to raise a dead person, the one that's your life, the one you love more than anything else. And the voice of the Lord says, "No, she's mine," and you let go. That's trust in the Lord. Just like Meshach had his two friends. They probably would have walked into that fire. You probably didn't have to bind them. They probably would have just walked right in saying, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord. If you don't heal us and save us, it's graduation day." There's an old evangelist. I don't know if any of you read any of his books. You want to read some good books? His name's Howard Hill. He's not even really an evangelist, but he's an evangelist. He's an engineer. And the stories this guy goes through, and his famous line is, every time he thinks it's over, "Hey, praise the Lord, it's graduation day." He's ready to go home. Then the still voice of the Lord says, "Hey, Hill, what about the rest of the people on this plane? They don't know me. Start preaching or praying." And that was his life. That was his ministry. God kept putting him in situations where he was about to die. And then he got to witness and pray, and the situation would change. That's trust. Let's look in Daniel in chapter 6. Yep, chapter 6, 13. Daniel's own story. What happened to Daniel? Everybody knows this. We taught it from the kids. Daniel's in the lion den. Now, have you ever run into this? Today, see, everything in the Bible gives us a hint about how the world is. Do you remember the story of what happened to Daniel here? Daniel had favor in the king's eyes. The king loved Daniel, put Daniel in charge of things. And some people got jealous. And because of the king's ego, they convinced the king to pass a law that said everybody had to worship his image and worship him as a god. Then they set a trap for Daniel, knowing that he wouldn't. And they caught him worshiping his God. And Daniel wasn't ashamed. He did had an, it says he had an open window. And he did it in front of an open window. So he trusted God. And the king asked him, Daniel, why? He says, because I worship my God. And the king loved Daniel so much that he spent half a day trying to figure out a way to get out of this. He couldn't. Then he spent the night. Now, this is not a king that worships Daniel's God. He spent the night praying and fasting for Daniel. Now, this is how much Daniel impressed the king. When the next morning came, he had to throw him into the lion's den. And he threw him into the lion's den, and he asked Daniel, are you okay? He says, yeah, my Lord, stop the mouth of the lion, I'm fine. The bad part of the story is the guys that tried to hurt Daniel, he threw the rest of them and their families and their kids and their wives in there, and according to the Bible, they got chewed up pretty quick. But what did this do? Daniel's trust in the Lord brought that king to the Lord. Because what did the Lord do? If we read, the Lord turned around and did what? The Lord turned this king's heart around, and the king made an edict that said what? He said, you will worship Daniel's God. So that's part of the point of you and I's trust. We're told by Paul that signs and miracles and wonders, part of what they're for is for the unbelievers. You want somebody to find Jesus, let them be healed. That doesn't always work. But if it's for the glory of God, it always is the glory of God. We have one young lady who had a stroke at 30 years old. She's 50. She was supposed to go in for stress tests because her heart was giving her problems. And they were convinced they'd have to operate on her. So she came into the office one day, and Mary and I prayed over her. And the Lord put in our spirit to pray a complete healing, but pray that he received the glory. Now, she is one of these people that you would call a Christian who's been inoculated with a mild form of Christianity so they don't catch the disease, okay? Don't you know those kind of people? I mean, we go to the doctor and we get a flu shot so we don't get the flu. Well, we have made our Christianity so good now you come to church, get a Jesus shot, and then you don't catch the disease. You just say, I am a Christian. And because we're afraid to preach the truth many times, we have a lot of people like this. So we prayed, God's glory be done. She went up to Jackson for the test. They didn't do a stress test. Her heart's perfect. The sad part of the story is, she didn't turn her life back to Christ. But the prayer was not that, it was, Lord God, thine glory and honor forever. She goes around town telling everyone God healed her. God is getting the glory, though she won't let go and give him her life. She's still giving him the glory. See, when we pray, you don't have to trust the Lord. If we don't trust him when we pray, why are we wasting our time? It's like when I have a conversation with my wife or a pastor, there's certain things that I'll talk about that I trust to say. They're confidential and they won't go any further. And that's what we do with the Lord. We open up our hearts. So far as God sees me, and you guys should praise him that we don't look this way, but as far as God sees me, I'm standing here naked as a jaybird. And he sees further than that. He goes into here. And if there's some black spots in here, he sees them. I can't hide them. I can hold his word over there all day long. I can wear a cross. It ain't going to hide him. Do we trust him? How much are you willing to trust him? You know, when my kids were younger, I could set them up on here, tell them to jump, and they knew I'd catch them if I told them I would. We trust God that much. You know, there's going to come times in your life, especially if you're praying his will. You start praying the will of God, there's going to be times in your life that you're not going to like what happens. Because his will for you may not be the most perfect thing in the world. You're looking at a woman there that said she'd never sell her house. You're looking at a woman there that said she'd never move out of Colorado. You're looking at a man that said, we lived in a mobile home one time. I said, I'll never live in a tin box again. Okay? We started praying God's will, and you know what he did to us? We lived in a little 28x10 tin box in the oil field for 7 years before he let us leave. We still live in a, well, no, it's a fiberglass box now, but I mean, when you ask God's will in your life, he's going to change it. He's going to take it, and he's going to run with it. And you've got to trust him to let him. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11, Jesus says, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And then Jesus, both in Luke and in Matthew, goes through a dissertation saying, hey, if your son comes to your daughter and asks for a piece of bread, will you give him a rock? What do you get out of that verse? Don't you feel sometimes when you're on your knees pleading before God asking that, as I've said many times, you get that, sorry, the God you have reached is temporarily out of service? No, it's not disrespectful, because there are times in our lives he's silent. There are just times in our lives that he doesn't talk to us because he's teaching us. But look at that verse again. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. How hard is it for someone you love to go up and say, I really need this. Could you give it to me? Any of you people that have kids know it's not hard. Dad, can I have $5? Dad, the car broke down. I need $10. Dad, I'm out of gas. It's not hard, is it? When you love someone, it's not hard to ask. But look at the next step. That verse is a period of growth. It is not ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened. That's Christian growth. There's three parts to your growth here. When you're a young Christian and you love Jesus with all your heart, you have no trouble asking him for anything. Think about it. If you can remember that far back, I have trouble some days. I mean, this is a guy that can't remember his briefcase, so I have trouble remembering that far back. That's no problem. Then it says, how many of you as kids played hide and seek? Come on. We all did. And do you remember that one brat that you hated? Because no matter how good you were, he always found the spot you couldn't find. Do you remember that? Do you remember never being able to find him and finally calling, what is it, how's it go? Ollie, yeah. Do you remember that? That's not our Jesus. He doesn't hide in a spot you can't find. But he does want you to look for him. You can't seek and sit. You know, if I'm sitting here and every one of you go out and hide in the church, you guys are going to starve to death before I find you. Now, if you're like me, you got a few weeks before you starve to death, but you'll still go. You can't seek and sit. Seek is a movement. You can sit and ask, Lord Jesus, I need this. Come to me. Help me. You can kneel and ask. Doesn't require movement, does it? With seeking, you have to go after. You have to go after, don't you? So Jesus is trying to teach you a lesson here in me. He opened this one up to me just the other day. I'm like, whoa, how many times have we read that? So to ask, we don't have to move. We can do that anywhere. But to seek means you're going to find something. Jesus wants us to find what? Him. He wants this heart so filled with Jesus that when you and I walk outside that door, the world looks at us and says, what have you got I wanted? And if you don't think that happens, ask my wife. She was at the post office one day, and the lady I was telling you about who had been inoculated came up to her and said, I don't know what you have, but I want it. And my wife just said, it's Jesus. And she said, well, I've already got him. He must have something else. The final one is knock. Now, how many of you know where everybody in here lives? I don't see one hand. Take us. How many people know where we live in Pinedale? Okay, we got three people. You three don't listen. But Pinedale's a town of 1,100 people. And say you know we live in Pinedale. But you don't know where we live. You don't know our full name. And you don't have our phone number. You just know Jay lives there. And the only way you can find Jay is by knocking on every door in town. So how long is it going to take you to find me? That's 1,100 people. I don't know how many doors we've got. We got a lot of them. He says, ask, and you shall receive. Real easy. He says, seek, and you shall find. You have to go look. But what do you have to do when you start knocking? You have to know where you're going and whose door you're knocking on. Think about it. If you go up to somebody's house at 2 o'clock in the morning in some of the towns of Wyoming and you don't know them, and you're banging on their door, and it isn't who you think it is, they may not be real polite. But if it's your friend, they probably won't shoot you. But you see what Jesus is trying to tell you in this verse? Trying to tell every one of us? It's a growth process. We don't just ask and get it. We don't just say, I'm seeking and get it. We just don't knock and the doors are open. You can't knock on a door unless you know whose door you're knocking on. You have to know Jesus. By the time you get to the point where you're knocking, you know Jesus, you know about Him, you've studied His Word, you've walked with Him, and now you're knocking on that door, pleading with Him to ask. We're told in Luke, Jesus says the story, He tells us again, ask and you will receive. And I love this story, because He tells about the friend, who has a friend show up. How many of you remember this? He goes over to his friend's house, he's banging on the door, saying, I need to borrow 3 loaves of bread. We're not talking $3 million here. We're talking 3 lousy loaves of bread to feed his friend that showed up unexpectedly. What does his friend tell him? His friend says, I'm in bed with my kids. I don't like friends like that. He says, I'm in bed with my kids. I'm not going to open the door. I'm not going to give you bread. What did Jesus say? Does anybody remember? He says, not because he is his friend, but because, depending on the Bible version you've got, of his persistence, he will open the door and give him everything he wants, or more than he wants. And so will the Father give unto you. Now see, that's the point at which you're knocking. What was that friend doing? That friend was embarrassed, wasn't he? He had somebody show up and he didn't have any food for him. So that friend had to have already swallowed his pride because he goes over in the middle of the night and banging on a friend's door. You know what the Greek word there is? It's really sad because all of the versions combine it into persistence or insistence. It's two Greek words. The two Greek words mean shameless insistence. It means you have gotten to the point where you're on your face, you're on your knees, you're banging on the gates of heaven, pleading for Jesus to heal someone, pleading for Jesus to feed your children, pleading for Him to drop a few dollars in the bank account so you can pay the bills, and you just don't care that you're pleading and begging. You're shameless about it. You're knocking and knocking and knocking until the Lord God does exactly like the friend would do because of your shameless persistence. He says, come on in. Take whatever you want so I can go back to bed. That's what that scripture's about. Trust. Trust. If we don't trust, we never can step out to ask. If we don't trust, we can't go further to seek Him. And we'll never, ever get to the point where we knock on the gates of heaven. How many stories have you read about great prayer warriors that when they went into prayer, they entered into the Holy of Holies? How many? Hundreds. At least I have. And I think, man, why can't I do that? I know my wife, she's getting such a tender heart, she can't start praying without weeping. I mean, she just starts weeping before the Lord. And I honestly can say, as a man, I don't understand it. I dream of it. I desire to be that tender before God. But Jesus was trying to teach us how to work it. How to work God's system. How to do what God wanted us to do. James tells us we have not because we ask not. James chapter, let me look it up, 2:4. James chapter 4. He says, we have not because we ask not. But then he goes one step further. You receive not because you may use it for your own desires. See, by the time we get from the point of sitting here and asking to actively seeking the Lord, to on our face supplicating and knocking on the gates of heaven, the only thing in our minds is Jesus. The only thing in our minds is His will. The only thing in our minds is what we can do for God. You know, I don't know if you guys know it, appreciate it, realize it, but the only reason you're here today is because of the Lord. You didn't wake up on your own. God gave you one more day. Because when you turn around and you call yourself a Christian and ask Jesus to be in your life, God gave you that one more day. That's why you're here. And if nothing else comes out of your mouth when you woke up this morning, it should have been, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I took a breath. How much do we trust Jesus? The Spanish Church and the Rock Springs Church, on July 26th and July 27th, Saturday and Sunday, in the park, and August 16th and August 17th in the park, are having services. We are putting together 3 to 9 p.m. Saturday, 3 to 9 p.m. Sunday, those two weekends. And we need your prayers, and we need your help, and we need your support. But we trust the Lord right now that whether anybody else shows up, we're going to be standing on those grass. And that man right there is going to be preaching to them in Spanish, and I'll be preaching part of the time in English. And I don't know who the other pastor is going to be preaching because we have to be at our son's wedding on the second one. How much do you trust God? We're trusting Him for hundreds to be saved. And we're praying for that. How much do you trust God? See, that makes what you do today. That's what you do tomorrow. That's what you do the following day. How much do you trust God? Because if you don't trust Him, you're never going to step out for Him. Never out of this mouth is going to come Jesus Christ, my Savior. If you don't trust Him, you're never going to receive. Oh yeah, God will throw you a little bone here and there. He'll help you because He loves you. But you're never going to receive what He has for you in fullness. And that's what He has for us, is fullness. What did Jesus say? I came to give you life more abundantly. More abundantly. Well, we live in the world. We have no choice because we're stuck in this little box. So we can't get out of this world till God calls us home. So when Jesus gives us life more abundantly, it directly affects us. Either our physical, our emotional, our spiritual, our financial, our health, whatever it may be, more abundant life refers to the life that we're living in. It doesn't refer to going to heaven and you're going to have much more abundant life in heaven. It refers to Jesus, I came to give you life more abundantly. We just have to be willing to ask for it. I'm going to close on this one note. It was a vision of heaven that this lady had. And I don't know how much of it's true. I've read the book with my wife, and I think it's mostly true, but she was led to a storehouse. A storehouse that was just full. Just full of everything. I mean, He was descriptive. This thing was full of body parts, just everything. And she asked the angel, what in the world is this? What's this? And the angel said, these are blessings that are waiting to be asked for. They're ready, but my children haven't asked for them. Now, I don't know if that vision is the exact description, but I know Jesus tells us time and time again, we are limited by ourselves. I mean, the men that walked with him, how many times did he turn and say, oh, ye of little faith? Jesus is the reason, not just for a season, but Jesus is the reason for everything you and I should do. We should be like the little bracelet, what would Jesus do? Every word out of our mouth, every step we take, every door we walk through, everything we do, that should be the question out of our mind. Before we do it, would Jesus do it? Do you trust him? If you trust him, will you be like the song, trust and obey, for there's no other way? If you love Jesus with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, like he said, then that song is your theme song. I trust and obey because I have no other way. When it's darkest, whether it's health, finances, whatever the problem, when it's darkness, when you're down, when you see no floor, when you see no bottom, you look up to heaven and you praise the name of Jesus Christ and say, I know I'm in your hands and I trust you. And you will go through. Trust and obey, for there is no other way. If there's anybody that doesn't know Jesus here, if there's anyone that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior, there is no better time than this moment to accept him. Because you may not have the next. I've heard too many stories, true stories over my lifetime, of people that said, I'll do it tomorrow. And then died in a wreck, died of a heart attack, knew a 22-year-old guy that was going to do it tomorrow, perfect health. The next morning he went out jogging and his heart exploded. He didn't have another tomorrow to choose Jesus. If you don't know Jesus today, come forward. We'll pray for you. You can ask Jesus into your heart. We'll teach you what you need to know. And more than that, we'll love you.
Hi, I'm Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor for His Will Ministry. We hope that you were blessed by today's message. You can write us at Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And send me your prayer requests online at mary@hiswillministry.org. We'd like to take the time right now to invite all of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to come to him today. It'll be the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but through Jesus. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, and a very simple process. You must repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you of them. The next step is to ask Jesus to come into your heart and your life. You must then turn away from your life of sin to avoid going to hell, which is an eternal place of torment. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again. You should be baptized by immersion in water, and you must find Christian fellowship and begin Bible reading. We welcome you into the family of God. May God bless you with His mighty presence in your life today. And remember, your financial investment in this ministry sends the gospel of the good news around the world. Thank you, and God bless you.